We are heirs to the universe, and we have been given massive, incredible power that we must use with wisdom, again, over and over and over again. We are given this template for how to operate physical reality, and it is based on spiritual principles, and the Bible is a wealth of these spiritual principles when correctly interpreted. All right, welcome back to another episode of Daily Neville. I am your host, Josiah Brandt, and Daily Neville is all about breaking down the teachings of Neville Goddard, making them easy to understand, easy to digest, easy to apply in 20 minutes or less. Today, we are continuing with Prayer, the Art of Believing, which is a 1945 book by Neville, and this is chapter 4, titled Controlled Reverie. Neville writes, "Everyone is amenable to the same psychological laws which govern the ordinary hypnotic subject. He is amenable to control by suggestion. In hypnosis, the objective senses are partly or totally suspended. However, no matter how profoundly the objective senses are locked in hypnosis, the subjective faculties are alert, and the subject recognizes everything that goes on around him. The activity and power of the subjective mind are proportionate to the sleep of the objective mind. Suggestions, which appear powerless when presented directly to objective consciousness, are highly efficacious when the subject is in a hypnotic state. The hypnotic state is simply being unaware. Objectively. In hypnotism, the conscious mind is put to sleep, and the subconscious powers are exposed so as to be directly reached by suggestion." Okay, now this is a thickly worded opening paragraph, and we're going to break it down. So what he's saying is whatever the ordinary subject of hypnosis experiences when in a hypnotic state, that's actually true for everyone. Everyone can experience the same psychological laws which govern the process of hypnosis. So hypnosis is applicable to everyone is basically what he's saying. He's saying everyone is amenable to control by suggestion, meaning that everyone is swayed on some level by suggestion. Now, in hypnosis specifically, the objective senses, which are the senses of 3D material reality, are partly or totally suspended. This is typically because you're lying back, you're closing your eyes, maybe you're limiting your audio input, you're limiting your visual input, certainly. Taste, touch, smell, all of these are dimmed. All of these senses are dimmed, and you are obscuring them to a certain state to allow other suggestions to make it through those senses, which could be considered filters or barriers. Neville says, no matter how profoundly your senses of the 3D external world are locked in hypnosis, your subconscious faculties, your subconscious awareness remains alert. So no matter how dimmed your awareness of the 3D external world, your awareness in the multidimensional internal world remains alert. He says, the activity and power of the subjective mind are proportionate to the sleep of the objective mind, meaning that the power of the subconscious mind increases as attention to the external world decreases. The hypnotic state is simply being unaware objectively, right? So the hypnotic state is simply being unaware of the external world, unaware of 3D material reality, unaware of your senses, unaware of a story that you're being, that you're experiencing or having told to you about what's going on in the world around you. When you tune that down, you turn away from that, and you focus inwardly, that's when you become more amenable to suggestion. In hypnotism, the conscious mind is put to sleep, and the subconscious powers are exposed so as to be directly reached by suggestion. So we put to sleep the guard at the gate, which is the conscious mind, and thus we expose the subconscious mind to suggestion. It is easy to see from this, Neville writes, providing you accept the truth of mental suggestions, that anyone not objectively aware of you is in a profound hypnotic state relative to you. Those who are not aware of you consciously are in a hypnotic state. They're relating to you at the level of a hypnotic subconscious state because they're not consciously aware of you. So if you're not in their conscious mind, you remain present in their subconscious mind. And Neville would say, actually, you're more present in their subconscious mind when they're not consciously aware of you in their conscious mind. Therefore, Neville writes, curse not the king. No, not in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber. For a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. And that's Ecclesiastes 10:20. Essentially, what Neville is saying here, what you sincerely believe as true of another, you awaken that within him. You awaken your assumptions of another in another, because it is transmitted telepathically to that other, and that other is influenced by your assumptions of them. No one need be entranced in the ordinary manner to be helped. If the subject is consciously aware of the suggestion, no one need be entranced in the ordinary manner to be helped, meaning you don't have to go and hypnotize someone in order to help them. If the subject is consciously unaware of the suggestion, and if the suggestion is given with conviction and confidently accepted by the operator or the one who is praying as true, then you have the ideal setting for successful prayer. Okay, what is the ideal setting for successful prayer? Neville gives it to us right here. The subject is consciously unaware. So your praying is in secret. You're not calling them up and telling them that you're praying. You're just doing it. And you are doing it with conviction, and you are confidently accepting that what you are believing, because prayer is the art of believing what is denied by the senses. So if you are confidently accepting as true that which your senses deny, then that is the ideal setting for successful prayer. Represent the subject to yourself mentally as though he had already done that which you desire him to do. Mentally speak to him and congratulate him on having done what you want him to do. Mentally see him in the state you want him to obtain. Now, you do this in your imagination. So in your imagination, the person that you're praying for, a lot of times people say, you know, pray when so-and-so is in the hospital or having some sort of health condition, right? We're asked, oh, will you pray for my son, pray for my daughter, pray for my aunt, uncle, mom, dad, whatever it is, right? So how do you pray? You mentally envision that person using your imagination in a state of health. You hear them. You hear their voice. Or if you don't know what their voice sounds like, you hear the person who's asking you to pray, relating the good news that that person is now well. Hear the voice. Hear the good news that that person is now well. Represent it to yourself mentally as being true and believe in that storehouse of infinity, that deep within yourself in which all possibilities exist. Believe in that. Mentally see that person in the state that you want them to obtain. Within the circle of its action, every word subjectively spoken at the level of the subconscious mind, it awakens objectively at the level of the external world what it affirms. It awakens it, awakens it. It stirs the energy that is in alignment with what you are speaking. Incredulity on the part of the subject is no hindrance when you are in control of your reverie. It doesn't matter if that person believes that they are capable of being healed by your prayer or not. It's of no hindrance if they don't believe, as long as you are in control of your own reverie, because prayer is a function of a controlled imagination. Bold assertion by you while you are in a partly subjective state, meaning that you are relaxed, you're imprinting into your subconscious mind, communing with your subconscious mind, communing with the Father in you communing with the subconscious assumptions in the infinite storehouse of eternity, which is the subconscious mind, which contains all things, that awakens what you affirm. Self-confidence on your part and the thorough belief in the truth of your mental assertion are all that is needed to produce results. Visualize the subject and imagine that you hear their voice. This establishes contact with their subjective mind. So when I visualize you and I imagine that I'm hearing your voice at the level of the subconscious and divine mind, the one mind that we all share, I have established contact and the transmission begins then. Then imagine that they are telling you what you want to hear. If you want to send him words of health and wealth, then imagine that he is telling you, I have never felt better and I've never had more. And mentally tell him of your joy in witnessing his good fortune, just as you would naturally do. Someone has something amazing happening in their life. You hear them tell you about it, and then you say, congratulations, and you're excited for them. You do that same thing, but in the controlled reverie of your imagination. Imagine that you see and hear his joy. A mental conversation with a subjective image of another must be in a manner which does not express the slightest doubt as to the truth of what you hear and say. If you have the least idea that you do not believe what you have imagined that you've heard or seen, or heard and seen, the subject will not comply. For your subjective mind will only transmit your fixed ideas. So prayer is the art of believing what is denied by the senses. And you could also say that prayer is the science of self-persuasion. Prayer, the art of believing what is denied by the senses. Prayer, the science of self-persuasion. You must persuade yourself that it is true beyond any shadow of a doubt, because divine mind is only going to recreate for you, mirror back to you, your fixed ideas. That is the nature of reality. That is the spiritual principles of how reality works. Only fixed ideas can awaken their vibratory correlates in those toward whom they are directed. If you do not control your imagination in the reverie, your imagination will control you. Whatever you suggest with confidence is law to the subjective mind. Whatever you suggest with confidence is law in the subconscious realm. It is under the obligation to objectify that which you mentally affirm. Not only does the subject execute the state affirmed, but he does it as though the decision had come of itself, or the idea had been originated by him. Control of the subconscious is dominion over all. Control of the subconscious, that infinite treasure house of eternity, control over that is control over all. Each state obeys one mind's control. One mind, divine mind. Each state obeys that mind's control. And control of the subconscious is accomplished through control of your beliefs, which in turn is the all-potent factor in the production of visible states. Control of the subconscious. You control your subconscious by controlling your beliefs. And controlling your beliefs is the all-potent, meaning the most powerful factor in the production of visible states, that which you can see in your material world. Imagination and faith are the secrets of creation. Imagination and faith are the secrets of creation. Some powerful ideas here delivered by Neville in Prayer, the Art of Believing. In the next chapter, we're going to talk in detail about the law of thought transmission, How are thoughts transmitted? And what are the laws that govern the transmission of thought? That's all for this episode. Until next time, imagine wisely, my friends. There is a whole world of exploration of these ideas that I don't share on YouTube. And if you want to get behind the scenes access to that information, you need to join my email list. There's a link in the description below. I look forward to seeing you there.